This is Cronkite News to Go. I'm your host, Kirsten Edgett. On today's show, we talk about the results of Tuesday's election, how two local outrigger canoe teams keep the ocean-based sport alive in the middle of the desert, and what the future of horse racing could look like in Arizona. Only one city's bond proposal did not pass the special bond election on Tuesday, as the citizens of El Mirage voted against a $41.5 million bond package. Reporter Kenny Rasmussen has more on the story.
The $41.5 million bond package would have provided a second fire station, an expansion to the police station, a new court facility, and an expansion to City Hall. $21.5 million of the proposed package would have gone toward public safety facilities, and the other $20 million would be dedicated to city facilities. The bond would have also increased the citizens' property tax rate, specifically in secondary property taxes. Members of the city council seemed to not mind the bond's failure. Councilmember Roy Delgado said, "A majority of the people voted against it, and I honor their wishes. That's all there is to discuss." Councilmember Anita Norton mentioned the proposed second fire station was in response to a previously proposed creation of commercial development, which is still in the planning stages. Norton maintains that even without the second station, the city's fire department is still effective, claiming emergency response times under 5 minutes due to El Mirage's relatively smaller size.
We already in El Mirage have the best average response time on our emergency calls than any other city around us. That's Surprise, Peoria, Glendale, Goodyear, Litchfield Park. And that's with our one station.
Morton also discussed the 16.4% election turnout rate, which she attributed to it being an off election year. Despite this lack of attendance, the election was advertised throughout El Mirage.
A lot of people didn't really even pay attention to the signs. You know, they see them, but they don't know what it's about.
Nor noted that the ultimate turnout is likely higher due to mail-in ballots not being counted yet, and ultimately maintained satisfaction with the people who did vote, even if it was during an off election year.
In spite of that, the people came out, voted, and made their voices heard.
Kenny Rasmussen, Cronkite News.
Outrigger canoe paddling is a competitive sport originating from Hawaii, but with the recent increase of Hawaiians moving to the mainland, connecting with the culture can be more challenging. I went out to Tempe Town Lake to learn more about how two Arizona teams are taking a sport from the ocean into the desert.
Yep.
As the sun rises over Tempe Town Lake, two outrigger canoe teams, Naleo Oke Kai and Team Arizona, have already hit the water.
Paddling was a Hawaiian tradition or Polynesian tradition that took them from island to island, and it became their a way of providing food on their table. They went fishing in outrigger canoes, and then it became a competition.
That was Alona White, a member of Team Arizona since 2008. She originally learned to paddle in Hawaii and has been in the sport for over 23 years. Unlike other canoes, a single-hull outrigger canoe has a beam attached to the side to act as a sort of balancing weight when taking on larger ocean waves. Double-hull canoes look like two canoes attached to each other using wood beams, with a space in between each boat of about 3 feet. Today, it's one of the most popular sports in Hawaii, and is slowly spreading out as locals move away from the island. Joey Kao, a member of Naleo, moved to Arizona 8 years ago, initially having his kids join so that they could be in touch with their culture.
Because they're growing up here, it's hard for them to be in touch with the culture. I just want them to experience being on the water, because, you know, being from the islands, that's all we have to do. And so they were able to gravitate towards it.
The mainland has seen a recent influx in those moving from Hawaii. According to a recent study from Wise Voter, Hawaii is the state with the highest cost of living in the U.S. Roxanne Garza was one of the original members of the first outrigger canoe club in Arizona, which was founded in 1996.
there's no waves like there is over here, and you know, you don't flip your, or who we call it, your canoe, you know, like you do over there. So, you know, we still do practice where they, you know, flip the canoe to make sure that they can turn it back over and get back in and whatnot. But just the way that the ocean is and whatnot, you know, compared to here is definitely super different.
Although paddling in Arizona is an adjustment, Garza says it's important to continue the sport for generations to come.
It's very important to our people to perpetuate our culture, so our parents really made sure that we did, and we continue to hand it on to the next generation. It was important to us to start a canoe club here where they didn't have any, and now there are multiple canoe clubs here in Arizona.
In Tempe, Arizona, for Cronkite News to Go, I'm Kirsten Edgett. The future of horse racing in Arizona is up in the air. Multiple racetracks across the valley are struggling financially. The uncertainty of when and where to hold races has affected thousands of workers in the horse racing industry. Austin Hapola takes us to the Arizona Thoroughbred Breeders' Sale at Horseshoe Park and Equestrian Center to figure out what the future might hold for the sport.
20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20,
is to preserve the sport of horse racing in the valley. Several racing tracks in Arizona, like Turf Paradise and Arizona Downs, have gone through various highs and lows over the last few years, and mostly lows. We're talking financial issues, ownership changes, and developers backing out of deals. Thoroughbred trainer Stacy Campo is uneasy about the instability in a sport that she's made her livelihood. She's been at it since she was 8 years old.
The uncertainty, the fear of something collapsing in front of us is on our minds every single day, especially when we get up in the morning at 5 o'clock in the morning to feed the horses in our backyard wondering, when are we gonna race?
Those local racetracks I mentioned earlier are expecting to resume horse racing in 2024. Stacy says that's thanks in large part to the Arizona Thoroughbred Breeders Sale.
When we have a sale like this and we've got breeders out here and we've got people that are determined to keep it alive and we've got, people who have tracks that are willing to negotiate to find a way to be able to run, they're going to do it and we're going to help them.
All right, have a look at your really handsome goal look here.
The goal of the Arizona Thoroughbred Breeders Sale is to supply stock for its members. Horses are put up for auction, obviously to provide buyers with potential racers down the line, but the auction also serves as a fundraiser to help bring the sport back to life. Organized horse racing has been a staple in the U.S. dating back to the 18th century. It's also one of the only sports that truly captures Arizona's old Western roots that run deep among members of the horse racing community. That bond not only motivates them to keep the sport alive now, though. Farm owner and thoroughbred breeder Tosh Kashian intends to keep the sport going for future generations.
The people are willing to go to work every morning at 5 and 6 or 4 o'clock in the morning to make sure the horse is taken care of because it's their pride. I'm optimistic that things will work out, but you have to have a storm every once in a while to kind of clean out the chaff to bring back the green.
The past few years have been tough for the horse racing industry. Still, the community is keeping its spirits high heading into 2024, when they'll once again open the starting gates. For Cronkite Sports, in Queen Creek, I'm Austin Hepola.
And this was Your CN to Go. This show was produced by Kirsten Edgett. Special thanks to Kenneth Rasmussen and Austin Hepola for their stories in this episode. I'm your host, Kirsten Edgett. Until next time,